Welcome to the Living in Lithuania podcast. Join me, Austė, in conversation with internationals who have found themselves living here in Lithuania.
Hi, Anastasia. Welcome to the podcast. At first, you could just introduce yourself and let us know where you're from.
Hi, thanks for having me. So my name is Anastasia, and I'm originally from Minsk, Belarus.
Thank you. So I'm really excited to have you on because actually you have a very interesting reason why you came to Lithuania. I think I've not had a guest who came for that precise reason in the very beginning. So maybe you could tell us about your experience with Solidarity Corps and how you found out about it, what it is actually, because some people might not know, and then what your experience with that was.
Yes, so I arrived to Lithuania in May this year. And I came here to volunteer with European Solidarity Corps. So European Solidarity Corps is a program funded by European Union. It's like part of this whole Erasmus program. And basically, if you're a citizen of any country that is a member of European Union or of some countries that are like partner countries that are not members of European Union, but they're like partners of the program. So let's say Belarus, Russia, Ukraine, Turkey, Georgia, Armenia, and some other countries probably, then you can participate. And there are some age requirements, like you have to be from 18 until 30. Mm-hmm. And it's a volunteering program. So I came to volunteer to participate in a project related to Roma community. Basically I volunteered at an NGO that works with Roma community, and particularly what I was interested in, like these areas are education and women's rights, women empowerment. And then I finished my project. Well, actually, I terminated it earlier, mm-hmm. and then I found a job. So currently I'm working and teaching here in Lithuania.
Mm-hmm. What was it like volunteering? How did you enjoy it? What did you learn? What was that experience like?
It was a great experience, actually, because I haven't been exposed to Roma culture that much before. So in the beginning, I learned a lot about culture because we had some lectures with anthropologists who told us a lot about the culture and so on. Mm-hmm. So we like learned a lot about the history. And then my responsibilities were mostly related to non-formal educational activities, mm-hmm. and that part related to, let's say, women empowerment through education. Mm-hmm. So like I organized those non-formal educational activities, something to do with teenagers and young people, and also we had those, like, let's say, women's circles when we discussed those issues related particularly to the situation of Roma women, because mm-hmm. it's a very traditional, very patriarchal culture, and the position of a woman there is quite difficult. They face, mm-hmm. like, unemployment, early marriages, and a lot of pressure from the family side. Mm-hmm. So, of course, as like you don't expect the situation to be changed in 2 months or 3 months, yeah. after you finish your volunteering. But still, you do as much as you can. You can bring your own perspective, and you can still try to show them that there is also like another way, another path that they could take, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Great. Wow, this sounds really amazing. And thank you for coming and for helping and sharing your expertise and all of your experience in teaching and putting it through that. So now you are teaching. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, right now I'm working for one of the language schools here in Vilnius, and I teach English there. I work only with adults, so there are just group classes, individual classes, and general English, business English. So I meet people from different walks of life, and that's actually super exciting mm-hmm. for me personally, because some of my students are researchers, some of them are business, some of them run their own businesses, some of them work for big multinational companies, and they all have their own stories, and it's really great exchange.
Wow, wonderful. That sounds really exciting. I'm glad. It feels like when you're thinking about it, it feels like you found your place. Like it's actually really interesting for you. So that's good to hear. So actually, I want to take us back a little bit before, to back in time, because before coming to Lithuania, you were already kind of moving around a lot. You left Belarus, you were moving to different countries. So maybe you could, take us back and to the time where you were still in Belarus, what you were doing and how that led to you having this sort of traveler life in a way.
I guess I've always been interested in the world around me. Mm-hmm. So I always had this just curiosity of how people live in different countries and what is it like to be somewhere else. So I guess that resulted in my interest in foreign languages. And this is how I chose my major at the university. So I graduated in foreign languages. And so it was English and Mandarin. Mm-hmm. So another language that I learned was Chinese, like Mandarin, mm-hmm. Like the standard Chinese. And while I was a student, I got an opportunity to go to China for a year and study there. So I won a scholarship funded by the Chinese government.
Wow.
And then I went there for 1 year. So I was able to improve my Mandarin language skills mm-hmm. and also just to experience life in China,
which was
an amazing experience. Yeah. Of course, in the beginning, it was like a bit of a cultural shock, obviously.
Yeah.
Like all the smells, the colors, the noises, and so on. But then eventually, as human beings, we always adapt. So then in the end, you just get used to it and you start to enjoy it. And then you cry a lot when you leave.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's a typical story. Those farewell parties and goodbyes.
But then your journey, your involvement kind of with China didn't end because you were then working with companies?
Yeah, you're right. So in Belarus currently, we have a lot of Chinese investment.
Mm.
And it's quite easy, I would say, to find a job in a Chinese company if you already know the language.
Yeah.
So that's what happened to me. I worked first for the Chinese hotel back in Minsk as an interpreter, and after that I worked for Chinese Airlines Air China in a sales and marketing department. So I kept working for Chinese companies for quite a while, so in total it was around 6 years.
That's great that you were able to use the skills you learned in university and practiced in China, and then back home you could find all of these opportunities. Do you find that as well here, that there are like similar opportunities to use your Mandarin here, or have you not looked into it at all?
Honestly, I haven't looked into that. And another reason would be probably I feel that period of my life is a bit over. And now I'm open to new challenges and new opportunities. I feel like that's already something of my past life, let's say. Although I don't mind finding something related to that. And if that happens, I'd be happy. But right now, I guess I'm focused a little bit on other things.
Mm-hmm. But do you still get an opportunity to practice your language?
I still practice a bit. I talk to my ex-colleagues, to some friends who I have in China. Of course, it's not the same as when you work in Chinese company and your actual colleagues and your management and everyone is Chinese and you just use this language 7 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
It's different, but still I'm trying to maintain my level. Of course, I feel that I'm losing the skills. I feel that my speaking skills are decreasing, but well, what to do, that's life.
Yeah, of course, but
that's natural.
Moving on to different things, and that's also cool. You had this chapter that was very rich, it seems, and now there's more energy and time for new things, which is also very, very exciting. And you've told me that you also had this opportunity to travel quite a bit through the job when you were working in the airlines, and you traveled a lot in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, like as an employee of the airlines, we were lucky to get those tickets with huge discounts. Mm. So every time I had vacation, I traveled somewhere to Southeast Asia. So I was lucky to visit like quite a lot of countries in that part of the world, such as Vietnam, Myanmar, Indonesia, Sri Lanka, also Nepal as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was a great experience. And that's part of the world that I'm still interested in and where I feel very comfortable in terms of, I don't know, safety, in terms of food, in terms of nature. Like, there are many things that attract me about that part of the world, and it's really interesting.
Yeah, we'll have to have a conversation where you tell me all the places I need to go, because I've not really explored that area too much. I've been only I've been to China, I've been to Hong Kong, but I've not really been anywhere else in that area. And it's incredible. I really want to go. I actually have a friend who just moved there. He's working in Malaysia now. So I hope to visit him once the situation is a little bit better and it's possible to fly there again. So after the experience with China, you also lived in South America, if I remember correctly. So maybe you could tell me a little bit about that experience and what you were doing there.
Right. Yeah. Well, actually, in Minsk, while I was still working for mm-hmm. Chinese company, I decided I need a hobby. So I started learning Spanish, like after work.
Okay. Nice.
And yeah. I just started to attend some courses. Also, I used this famous language learning app. Mm-hmm. And also, we had a Spanish conversational club in Minsk that I also attended. Mm-hmm. So, and then I felt like, okay, I feel like having this experience of living in a Spanish-speaking country, mm-hmm. but probably not Spain. Okay. It's just I don't have anything against Spain, but so I just prefer Latin American accents. I just prefer the way Spanish sounds there. So mm-hmm. I was particularly interested in that. So I started applying for jobs, internships, volunteering opportunities all around South America, like all around Latin America, that would be more correct, like Mexico, I don't know, Colombia, Peru, Argentina, and so on. And then I managed to find an internship opportunity, like a paid internship in the university in Colombia. That was through ISEC. I don't know if you've heard about this organization. So they also facilitate various internships, volunteering opportunities, and so on. Mm-hmm. So that was via them.
Mm. Okay. So you moved to Colombia and you worked there.
Yeah, that was an internship, like a 6-month internship at the university in a small city in Colombia. So I taught English to the university students. Mm-hmm. And actually, that was 2020 when the pandemic happened.
Oh.
So actually, by the time my project was over, I realized that Colombian borders are still closed and there is no way for me to exit the country.
Yeah.
And my country didn't provide any kind of humanitarian flights or that kind of help. So I was kind of doomed.
Okay.
But I would say in the end, in a positive way, because I was happy to stay. So I managed to find another job, figure out the bureaucratic stuff. And in the end, I stayed for almost 1 year and a half there. Which was a super exciting experience.
Wow, so you were kind of stuck, but stuck in a good place?
Actually, now looking back, I think it was such a great place to spend even the beginning of the quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just nice city where I lived. I really enjoyed the nature. The climate was great. The food was so, like, they have a great variety of fruits and vegetables. And then it's not very expensive, so it's good like this in terms of price and the cost of living. And then I made some friends there, so it was great.
Mm, yeah, sounds like an amazing, amazing experience. So you came after that, you came back to Belarus, and it wasn't that long ago, was it? So was it directly that when you came back, you then came to Lithuania?
Well, I spent 3 weeks in Belarus in April because I had to apply for a visa to be able to come to Lithuania.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed literally as long as it was needed to get my visa to come to Lithuania.
I see.
So it was not that long, yeah.
So how did you choose Lithuania? Just because it's the neighbor country or other reasons?
Actually, not really. With this European Solidarity Corps, I was like always interested in those projects, but I always thought that I have time. But then I realized that I'm turning 30 in 2021 and I have to rush if I still want to do it.
Yeah.
So I guess last winter was the time when I started to search for a project in a very active way.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I was looking into Spain, well, because of the language, because I was like, okay, I'm going to be okay with the accent. I'll probably go to Spain. But of course, due to pandemic as well, there were not so many projects available and I didn't want to wait for so long. So then I just started looking for an interesting project. I didn't care that much about the country. Like, my priorities were just about the project, if it's an interesting one. And the second factor was just that it's not in a very remote, tiny village, mm-hmm. because I was afraid of going crazy there and not having opportunities yeah. to socialize. So I was like, as long as it's a town or was some kind of city over normal size, I'm going to mm-hmm. go there. So then this opportunity in Vilnius came up. Then the interviews went quite smoothly and quite fast. And then I was like, okay, then I got to make this decision fast and go there mm-hmm. and go for it.
Okay. So happy with the decision?
Yeah.
Great. No, that's wonderful to hear. Yeah. So you were doing the project and you decided to, end it a little bit early, I guess, right? And what was it like then to find a job? Well, did you already have the offer while you were volunteering to teach English? Or did you stop the project and then try to find something to work?
It was like more like around the time when I was about to finish the project, I started looking for a job. Mm-hmm. So I was actively applying for some vacancies. I was having interviews. But then since I'm not from European Union, then of course not all the countries agree to hire someone from outside. Because in this case, they need to wait for all the paperwork to be done until I can work legally for them. Mm-hmm. So in this case, it was mostly this case. Mm-hmm. No, so if you ask me if it was difficult or not, I would say it's not difficult to find a job. Mm-hmm. If you're from European Union. Okay. If you're okay. from the outside, then you just need to consider this factor, mm-hmm. like this extra paperwork to be done.
Mm-hmm. But was that a challenge, that all the paperwork and all of this for you? Or did it go okay?
I would say it went okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I expected worse, because I always try to expect worse so that I'm not disappointed. So let's say I was pleasantly surprised.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you decided, so why not after the project? Why didn't you decide to go to Spain or try like these other countries? You just liked Lithuania and you wanted to stay longer?
Yeah, I was already here. And by the time I was finishing the project, I've only spent here like 3-4 months around okay. that. And I felt like staying here longer mm-hmm. because I really feel comfortable here. And I decided, why not? I could try living in Lithuania for a while.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. What are some of the things that you enjoy about the country?
I guess the first thing would be safety, because I didn't come here from Belarus. Well, I came from Belarus, but it was more like I came here from South America. Mm-hmm. So if you compare safety levels, then it's just very different. So when I just arrived, I was like, okay, now I can use mobile phone, you know, outside. I can take pictures in the street mm-hmm. or I can walk home at 10, at 11 p.m. and nothing bad is going to happen to me. I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. So I would say safety. I'm still impressed. Then things like punctuality and generally the way things are organized. Mm-hmm. I feel that the buses, trains leave on time and I enjoy it. Generally, people usually keep their word. Like, let's say if you have an appointment or if someone promised you something, then they're going to do it. And I love it because I'm also like this. So mm-hmm. it's easier for me, I guess. Generally, culturally, I feel like, of course, there is cultural difference between Lithuanians and Belarusians, but still it's not that huge, like mm-hmm. that gap, let's say, as I felt in China or in South America. Mm-hmm. So here I feel closer and I feel easier in a way to fit in, mm-hmm. maybe.
Nice. And what are some things that you do, like in your free time outside of work?
I love traveling. I love mountains and hiking. It's not the case here in Lithuania, of course. But still, I managed to visit some mountains. In September, I went to Poland, mm-hmm. like because they have some mountains there in the south.
Oh, yeah.
They have Tatry, so I did some hiking over there. And now we'll see.
Yeah, same. I love hiking, and I've probably spoken more about hiking than I should on this podcast, but why not speak a little bit more? Yeah, I love to go hiking. I try to go to the mountains every year, at least once. And unfortunately, there's no mountains in Lithuania, but it's easy to get to some, like you say, Poland. It's not too far. Flights to Italy are quite cheap, and you know, there's the opportunities in France and the Alps and Switzerland and around. So I love that. So maybe I would also be interested to hear some of your, maybe you have some hiking stories from South America or from Europe or or anywhere you've gone that's been...
Yeah, well, I guess so. While I lived in Belarus, I wouldn't say I was that much interested in hiking because we don't have mountains either. Mm-hmm. But when I traveled, I went on some short hikes in Europe, but then I guess the longest hike I've taken was in Nepal. Mm-hmm. I went on a 5-day trek, and the altitude was the maximum altitude that I've reached was actually not that high. It was just 3,000 something. Mm-hmm. But still, I went on my own on that hike.
Whoa. And okay.
But that was it sounds a bit out of the beaten path when you say it to someone from here, but in Nepal it's a very popular touristic route, let's say. Okay. So if you go there during high season, during peak season, there are quite a lot of people there who take the same route. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're alone. And basically what also I love about hiking in Nepal, that usually if you take the most popular routes, you stay in a guest house for a night. Mm-hmm. You don't need a tent. And that's a great part because I don't really like camping that much and sleeping in a tent. I don't enjoy that.
Yeah.
So the fact that they actually have guest houses and you can sleep under the roof is great. Mm-hmm. And also they provide food, so you don't need to carry that much food on you all day. So that also makes it easier. So it was really exciting, seeing the Himalayas for the first time in my life. I fell in love with Nepal and I would really love to go there again. I would love to do something more challenging, maybe. Well, my dream is to do the Everest base camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some people who have done that and they are not professional athletes or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's reachable.
Yeah.
It's possible. And then if we talk about other experiences, then it was in Latin America because I lived in a mountainous region. I lived at an altitude all the time. I lived in a city that was located at 1,900, and then I moved to the capital, which is 2,600 above sea level. So you kind of feel the altitude in the beginning when you arrive there. You kind of have this headache and some other symptoms, but then you get used to it, and then it makes easier to go higher because you are kind of already adapted to that. And I was lucky to meet people who were also into hiking, so we created a group. And we did that every Sunday. So we had our Sunday routine that on Sundays we go to the mountains and then we would wake up early around 5 a.m., meet at 6 all together, and then they go somewhere for 7 or 8 hours and come back completely devastated and tired, but with those great impressions.
Oh, no, that sounds amazing. Yeah, I did that too. I was living in New Zealand for 9 months and hiking a lot. So I joined this Canterbury University hiking tramping club, because they call it tramping in New Zealand. Every other weekend we were going on trips and they were organized, and it's amazing. I love it. And and this hike you did in Nepal sounds great. And it's nice not to have to carry all the food and the tents and everything, and then you can just enjoy the time much more. That's great. Maybe can you remember any of the places, hiking places, just to have the names or no?
You mean exactly the names of the tracks? What I did in Nepal was the Pun Hill track.
Mm-hmm.
So in Colombia, I just lived. First, I lived in the region, in the province that is called Caldas. So we basically hiked all around that province. I lived in a city called Manizales, so that was all around that area, and they have a huge natural park nearby, which is Parque de los Nevados, where they have a few volcanoes that are still active, and the park is really huge, and they have a lot of hiking trails around that, and you can go there. They have also some amazing places, such as, for example, the Cocora Valley, where they have these tallest palm trees in the world, and plenty of other exciting places where you can go and you just feel mesmerized. Because for me, I guess the most important part is just seeing those beautiful places.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if those are not so popular routes, then this feeling of solitude and calmness that you can feel there.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you have some problems, you just look at the mountains and realize that they don't actually care and they're going to stay there no matter what is happening in your life. So you don't need to worry that much, probably.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a very healing practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love that, like, about the mountains. It's like you go and all of your problems seem so small because the mountains are in front of you and the spectacular scenery opens up and you just relax and enjoy and just meditate while you're walking, or like you say, if it's a popular track, then you can meet people and then you can be alone, but not really alone, because like the one you say in Nepal, it sounds like something probably you can, like Camino Santiago, the trail, right? It's also like you can go alone, but you'll meet all the people and in the evenings. How have you, like, on these kind of trips, do you meet like friends?
Yeah, like I've traveled solo quite a lot, actually, not just talking about the hiking trips, but also all the trips that I did to Southeastern Asia. Most of them were solo trips. So, of course, I met various people from all around the world. So sometimes I also do couch surfing. So I also meet people via that website, even though sometimes even if I don't stay at somebody's place, then I just attend local meetups, and then it's a great way to meet people, especially in Colombia. Actually, that's how I met like my best Colombian friend. I just went to the local couch surfing meetup on Friday, and that's how we became friends, and we're still friends. And he's just an amazing person. And that's great. And then I was thinking, okay, what if I was lazy on that evening and decided to stay home and just watch Netflix?
Yeah, couch surfing people are great. I'm also in that community, and I host here. And I hosted a lot when I was living in Klaipeda for 6 months. I was hosting a lot of people. And then, yeah, when traveling, I try to use it as well, because it's a great way to really get the feeling of a place from the locals' perspective and meet cool people and also get great recommendations that you wouldn't get, you know, from TripAdvisor or wherever, because it's the local person actually telling you where to go and all of their, and sometimes they go with you and then they know the people, and it's a completely different experience. So yeah, that's really cool. So coming back to Lithuania, what are some other things? Actually, have you traveled around already, or have you not had the opportunity?
Well, actually, before I even moved here, I've been to Lithuania quite a few times, because I come from Belarus. So in the times before the pandemic, when we even used to have trains, I think now there is no train anymore. So like by train, it used to be 1 hour, 2 hours and a half. So it used to be like a weekend destination. You go to Vilnius or you go somewhere else for a weekend and then you go back. So even before moving here, I've already visited Vilnius, Kaunas, and Palanga. But then this summer, I visited those places again. I've also visited Nida and the Kyrenian Spit. Yeah. I love it there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And yeah, just some places around Vilnius, not so far away.
Right. So what else do you like to do, like in the city? Are there any spots you like? Or activities you do?
I guess I just like the way nature feels so close here in Vilnius, because it's really green and you really feel like that it's a city built in the middle of the forest. So you really have all those forests and huge parks really close by. Because, for example, in Minsk, I feel that Minsk is much more dense, let's say, in terms of having those houses and neighborhoods where people live just literally everywhere. And if you want to find a forest or a lake, that would be somewhere pretty much on the outskirts or outside of the city. But in Vilnius, you can find everything like within the city borders, let's say. So I like a lot of places. My favorite places would be the Green Lakes, just the hills, the Three Crosses, and yeah, just other hills like the forest around Antakalnis neighborhood. I also love it there.
Beautiful. Yeah. No, that's something I think a lot of my podcast guests mentioned, that this, the fact that, you know, we have nature so close to the city and you can just, you know, 20 minutes walk sometimes, or take the bus or whatever, drive, you know, take a bike, and you're in nature. And it's really nice to hear that people from outside of Lithuania really appreciate that about being here and living here. It would be really interesting to know how moving around has shaped you, and what that experience has taught you in life, and how what you bring that now, maybe even to your work or just your personal life.
Yeah, I think In general, I've learned a few things. The first one would be that we as humans can live almost anywhere. I mean, like, you can live in any country, actually. You can adapt almost to anything. It's just the question of time and the question of whether you actually want to stay there. Mm-hmm. So, because the languages can be learned, the jobs can be found, the friends can be made, so all these things, they can be solved.
Mm-hmm.
And what comes from that, all the problems can be solved in general, even though in the beginning you feel like maybe you've come across a brick wall and there is no solution, there is nothing you can do. But you just learn to be patient, and then step by step, you're going to get it in the end. Mm-hmm. Just there is no need to worry that much. And another thing I have learned, I guess, it's just some things about myself, because all those places, they just reflect some parts of us. And mm-hmm. then you realize that, okay, these are my values and this works for me. And this, like, something else doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
So you just learn that there are some parts of culture or some parts of something somewhere that fits in or where you don't fit in for mm-hmm. several reasons. And then you just move on. And that's totally fine.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I can definitely relate to that. And also, I would really like to ask you about, like, maintaining relationships. How has that been for you? You know, friendships, because moving around, for me at least, it's been challenging. You know, because you meet such amazing people when you're traveling. You live somewhere for a longer time. You build really strong friendships, and then you leave, but a part of you is still, you know, there with the people. How is that for you, and how do you maintain the relationships that you formed over the years while moving around?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's challenging. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you make friends, then you leave part of your heart somewhere else, then somewhere else. Of course, not all friendships stay with you through the time. Of course, you lose connections with some people, but I guess that's life. However, there are also other ones that stay with you, and even though you don't see each other that often, you still have that deep connection and you still stay in touch and you don't lose that quality. Mm-hmm. So yeah, right now, for example, while I was in Colombia on that project, I met like some other foreigners who were from other European countries or from other countries in the world, and we still managed to stay in touch. We catch up from time to time. I mean, mm-hmm. online, like, we call each other, and right now I'm looking forward actually to Christmas vacations this year. Let's hope there are no lockdowns, no closed borders, because I'm planning to visit actually some of the friends that I've made in Colombia, because we still stay in touch. We are very close, mm-hmm. and I want to maintain those relationships. And I believe that you need to meet each other, of course, from time mm-hmm. to time, and create new memories in order to keep that friendship growing, because otherwise, so it's just the memories that keep you together.
Yeah, yeah. And, it can be said a lot, I think, about a relationship and a friendship where you make the effort, right, to meet, and it's worth it because you want to maintain the connection and you really value the friendship that you have. Definitely, I feel the same. You know, yeah, of course, a lot of connections, they sort of fall away, but you don't have enough time in the day to, you know, reach out to everyone. But the relationships that you keep and that you maintain are just, you know, sometimes just friends for life, basically, because you've had the hurdle to overcome to still be in touch and be in each other's lives. And it's so great to be able to visit and meet up with the people close to you and travel together. And like you say, yeah, form those new memories and experiences.
Yeah, totally, because those are, in the end, those meaningful connections that we live for, and those are one of those great things in life that we have, so, yeah, totally.
So a question I ask at the end of the podcast, and you know this, I know you know, to describe living in Lithuania in three words.
So, is it cheating if I say safety again?
No, it's not.
Okay, so then the first word gonna be safety. Well, I think I've already explained it, so then the second word would be
I thought you prepared for this.
Yeah, I was prepared, but then I was just talking too much, so no. Okay, so the second word would be, I guess, green color, mm-hmm. just because I feel that it's really green, mm-hmm. especially in summer, of course, but in general, that would be like the dominant color around. And the third word would be just calmness, quietness, mm-hmm. Because I really enjoy it here. I really enjoy how quiet it is. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say my neighbors are quiet.
You're lucky.
In general, I feel that people are calm and quiet and you feel this atmosphere. And for me, it's just very something that makes me feel more productive and less stressed. Mm. So I guess that's just very calm environment.
Oh, okay. Great. Well, thank you so much for being on and sharing your story and your experience.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. For more conversations like this one, subscribe to the podcast and let's connect on the Living in Lithuania Facebook page. If you or someone you know would like to be on the podcast, feel free to get in touch. Until next time.